must have been about 13 years old, and I really wanted to learn how to play the guitar. So I took a guitar class at school. I learned a few chords and was working on a song when a buddy of mine played a guitar lick on his guitar that caught my ear. So I asked him who it was, and he said, "Oh, that's Chicago." He let me borrow their first album for the weekend so that I could learn the song, and I've been a fan ever since. In listening to the album, I immediately noticed that they were different from anybody else on the radio. Is this jazz? Is it rock? R&B? Is it pop? Some of the songs even had a classical structure in them. I thought, who are these guys anyway? Chicago is the first rock band to chart top 40 albums in 6 consecutive decades. They have recently received the Lifetime Achievement Grammy Award and were inducted into the 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Robert Lamb and James Pankow have become inductees of the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2017. Having written such mega hits as 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park, Feeling Stronger Every Day, Make Me Smile, and many, many others. In 1967, Robert Lamb was one of the 6 founding members of a rock band with horns that soon became known as Chicago. One of the 3 remaining founding members, Robert Lamb is a keyboardist, guitarist, singer, and songwriter. I've recently had the pleasure of an interview with Robert Lamb as we discuss the past, present, and future of Chicago.
Glad to have you with me today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Where are you? Are you in Chicago? Where are you at?
I'm in Boise.
You're in where?
Boise.
Boise, Idaho. Okay.
So are you guys... We're on our way over to... After we play Boise tonight, and then we play over in Portland, and then we come up and visit you guys.
Uh-huh. Well, we sure are looking forward to it, I'm telling you. And I've been a big fan of Chicago since way back the first album. Okay, starting with the first question. You were born and raised in Brooklyn, and your parents were really into jazz music. Is that what influenced you?
I think it did. My mother was always singing. We'd be having dinner around in the kitchen, and after we had our dinner, she'd be singing along with whatever was on the radio. They did have a nice collection of 78 RPM jazz discs.
78, huh? That's right. I remember those.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that, you know, that influenced me. And at some point, she had the idea that to keep me out of trouble, she enrolled me in a church choir in Brooklyn. And it was a good choir, men and boys, and also girls. And so I spent Tuesdays after school, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Friday nights, and then, of course, Sundays, singing the great, religious music.
Uh-huh.
And it just was a lot of fun for me. And I think I got programmed to be a musician in that way.
Uh-huh. And what age was that when you're in the choir?
Probably, I was in the fourth grade, I think, when I started.
Wow. Amazing. And that's when you got the bug, huh? You got bit by the music bug.
Yeah, and you know there were we got to hang around in the choir room, and there was an incredible grand piano there, and the choir master was relaxed about one of the kids wanted to play the piano or whatever. She let us do that, and I would just watch some of the kids who had already taken lessons. I never took lessons at that age. I watched some of the kids who could play a little bit, and I just kind of copied what they were doing, and that's how I got interested in playing piano.
Thank you.
I'm with you. It doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. I'm with you, that's all that matters. Time passes much too quickly when we're together laughing. I wish I could sing it to you. Oh no, I wish I could sing it to you. Oh, oh. Words to say when I kiss you.
Now, Chicago's first album was released in 1969, and it was a double album. Was there any particular reason why it was a double album?
Well, I think our producer had something to prove to Columbia Records. He believed that, you know, in those days, you know, we were part of the counterculture, if you will. And so he wanted to prove to the suits, Columbia Records, that we could afford to give the people more music than they're used to getting for a good price. So that was really his rationale. But he also said, you know, these guys have a lot to say, and one disc may not be enough. And he was right.
Well, the album would go on to number 17 on the chart and sell well over a million copies. That's an amazing accomplishment. Did you guys feel that you finally found the right formula, the right sound for the band at that time?
Oh, D. Dwayne, we're still looking. We're still looking for the right formula. That's how music is. That's what music is. You just keep moving on. Just keep trying to make it better. Try to understand it better. Try to make it groove better.
The world.
You're saying that you're still evolving.
We are, actually. We're in the process of recording a new album right now. I spent the pandemic, you know, a year and a half writing and working with other writers who I admired, who I never had time to had the time to work with, and I wrote a bunch of songs, and BMG Records heard a little bit of it and encouraged us to continue on. So actually, it's nothing like the early Chicago albums, because you know we are what we are, and you know we certainly have matured as musicians. So we're hoping the album will drop sometime right around the end of the year, first part of the 2022.
Well, now you wrote 25 or 6 to 4, and that was Chicago's first top 5 hit. I've read that song was banned in Singapore because they thought it was about drugs. Is that true?
I've never heard that, but probably.
You've never heard that, that it was banned in Singapore?
But, you know, I never heard that, but of course it's a song about writing a song. It's not a song about drugs.
Exactly. We'll be right back.
This year, I think, soon will be the 50th anniversary of Chicago's appearance at Carnegie Hall in New York City. We played for a solid week. I was the first rock band to play at Carnegie Hall.
Right.
We recorded the entire thing. And so very shortly, any day now, a box set of the recordings of the entire week at Carnegie Hall will be released, remixed, remastered. It's a masterpiece of an album, and really kind of an important time in our life.
Absolutely. And that was in 1971, right?
Something like that.
1971 at Carnegie Hall, six nights, and it will be available on Rhino.com.
Okay, you have the info.
I have the info.
You know more than I do.
I have the info. I certainly want our listeners to remember that. That's going to be a beautiful set. It's going to include posters and all kinds of goodies and stuff in the set. And it'll be available on Rhino.com, listeners out there. So be sure and pick that up. Chicago's 1971 Six Nights at Carnegie Hall concert series. Wow. And in my research, I've learned that you guys at one time opened for Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin at the Whiskey A Go-Go. I bet that was amazing, huh?
Yeah, you know, actually, we played a long tour with Jimmy, and we did play. I believe we did play in the Pacific Northwest when he was still with the Experience, with Noel and I can't think of the drummer's name, but yeah, Jimmy was great. He was kind of a quiet guy, but a sweet man and so talented.
Right. And another interesting fact that I found out is that Chicago was booked to do Woodstock. What? You guys are going to do Woodstock?
We were supposed to do Woodstock, but at the same time, we had been booked into the old Fillmore West.
Right.
In San Francisco. So our dear friend Bill Graham wouldn't let us out of that. He wouldn't let us out of that contract.
But Chicago's first number one single was If You Leave Me Now in 1976, and I understand that it almost even didn't make the album.
Yeah, I think that that was sort of way off our, I don't know, our plan.
Uh-huh.
We were still into pushing more into fusion, if you will.
Right.
The guys that were writing music, but the guy who wrote Peter Cetera, who wrote that song, that maybe was one of his first songs, and so none of us were particularly thrilled to be having violins and symphony orchestra on the record with us, because most of us were thinking in a different direction. But you know, you can't complain about the success and the fact that that song just resonated so deeply with people all over the world. It was a huge, huge hit.
Absolutely.
Simple and free.
And that iconic Chicago logo is not only one of the most recognizable symbols in music history, but the logo itself won a Grammy. Is that right?
I'm not sure about that, but I think a number of the album covers have won Grammys, yes.
Uh-huh. That's amazing.
It is.
Was there any particular reason why you guys chose to just put the logo out there instead of your faces on the cover? I guess you guys' faces are only on one album.
Yeah, you didn't want to see these faces.
Which artists or musicians, past or present, would you say influenced you the most, Robert? I mean, who did you look up to musically?
You know, before I started in this band, I was working in a department store as a stock boy. Whenever I had a break, I would go to the music section and look through all the LPs. And so I was listening to Jimmy Smith. I was listening to. I really thought that. Bill Evans on piano.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to Ray Charles. Ray Charles was a big influence.
Are there any artists of today that you enjoy listening to, Robert? Do you like anybody out there that's right now out there on the charts?
Yeah, the guy who he kind of came from Hawaii, and he put together a great band.
Bruno Mars?
Oh, that guy, Bruno Mars. I think Bruno Mars is amazing. He is amazing.
Yeah, he is, isn't he? And he's a musician.
He's a real musician, and, you know, he's got so much talent.
We'll be right back.
Well, you know, I really can't say enough how much the music of Chicago has impacted my life and that of so many millions of other people as well. And for that, I truly want to thank you and the band, because I know that it hasn't always been easy, Robert. We're looking forward to seeing you up here in our area, as we do every time you come up here. And I appreciate your time in this interview, and nice talking to you. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to speak with you, and keep doing it.
Many thanks to Lori Gorman of Chicago Management for her assistance and support of the Gumbo Mix. And of course, thank you to Robert Lamb for his time and a wonderful interview. My name is Dee Duane. Thank you for listening to our one-on-one with Chicago right here on thegumbomix.com.